This is the Family Culture Movement. Are you ready to break up with the dysfunctional beliefs and behaviors of our dominant culture and parent with intention? Then you're in the right place. The Family Culture Movement is where you'll learn how to take inventory of the narratives and social conditioning shaping your family dynamics and say no to the dominant culture. I'm your host, Jody Chafee. I'm going to help you break dysfunctional patterns and lead your family with confidence and resilience. Hey, if this is your first time tuning in, be sure to check out the last episode of The Family Culture Movement with Benjamin Bitter, where we talked about how we can empower our children to take on their civic responsibilities. Welcome to the show, Lisa Ann Fontana. Lisa is the author of Me, the People. She didn't cast her first vote for anything until she turned 35 years old. She tried to buy a book to teach her about politics and government so she could vote with confidence. But the bookstore shelves were lined with negativity and all of them played the blame game. Instead, she researched it herself until she became the expert. And now she shares her expertise with the other 92 million people who might be looking for it too. Using her background as a professional actor, Lisa Ann created the character Citizen Cupcakes and designed welcome parties to help current non-voters get comfy in their country. Her focus is on putting democracy back where it belongs in the hands of you and me, the people. Welcome, Lisa.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So excited to have you. This is awesome. So I want to come back to something that I read in your bio, but first I like to ask an icebreaker question, and that is, what did you want to be when you were a kid?
I always wanted to be one of two things. One was an actor, which I became, and the other was an astronaut, which I couldn't wait to do. But then when I went to space camp at 14, I loved it, but I realized it was a lot more math than I was ever interested in doing and a lot less space travel, which is more of what we do now. So I was excited. I followed it. I couldn't wait. But in the end, acting, you could do a lot more often, and you didn't have to do re-entry, which I kind of liked.
Nice, right? No scary explosions and things
like that. Your body expands when you come back. You're about an inch and a half taller.
Mm-hmm. Wow, fascinating.
Reality, so you have to be healthy enough. I don't know how healthy your spine has to be to take decompression and recompression. And yeah, no, and acting comes with a green room and everybody's nice and they get to wear costumes. So
I love it. How is that passion or that desire to want to be an astronaut and to be an actor? Obviously you became an actor, so that shaped who you become, but how has had those wishes and those desires, those dreams shaped who you've become?
Well, one of the things that I think when acting is done right, and when I say that, I mean, when you have the chance to do your job as an actor, the whole job of it is to reflect life to other people so that they can see themselves within it. And if you do it in a way that entertains, then you're also waking the soul, mending the heart, but then reflecting the human condition. And that's a really noble profession. And when you get it right, you get the chance to both entertain and also move someone forward in their own life. And so for me, every time I could get on a stage, every time, even when you do an industrial, and those are company videos. If you ever see the video of someone saying, when you see a wet sign that says, don't slip on the floor, that someone like me is pointing to it saying, when you see the wet sign, that you have the opportunity to bring your humanity to that so that even something that feels very stiff is an opportunity to reach another human being. And I've really enjoyed the opportunity to, you get to climb into other people's lives as part of your job, learn the ins and outs that make up even people that we perceive as bad. Because in order to portray you correctly, I have to understand you. And the more time you spend seeking to understand, it's a fascinating place to get into the mind of someone who maybe isn't a great person in the character, but you have to find out what makes them worthwhile. Otherwise, they have no being business on stage. And that gave me a lot of insight to learning about people, which I appreciate.
Yeah. Yeah. How did that lead into this now having the Me the People platform and understanding the non-voter?
Well, I think because I get people. It's so easy for me. I was a non-voter. I made myself tell people I was a non-voter as part of my research once I got a handle on this. Unbelievable cruelty coming off of anyone who knows you don't vote over and over. I tell the story a lot because it's fun to tell, but I don't say it to impress people, but to impress upon you the difference. And it is this. I'm from Chicago, born and raised, and I'm what people call Chicago tough, third generation Italian American. I'm crossing the street one day. I'm crossing the Michigan Avenue Bridge and a homeless man tries to steal my purse. I'm late for the train. And when you miss the train, you get stuck. You're late for dinner. You're everything surrounds the train. So he took my purse and I grabbed him by the chest and I bent him backward over the side of the bridge until he apologized. Now the poor guy gave the purse back. No, I made him stay there until he apologized because I don't like bullies. I'm not a fan of people just coming at you and getting, no, it's not okay. I got my purse back. He apologized. But then you cut to maybe 6 months later, I'm sitting at a meeting full of politicians and doing my job, promising myself that part of my research, telling people, I had never voted before. And that night ended with me in my car in tears for a half an hour before I could even start my car. That's the level of yearning you feel to be part of your country in a good way and how bad it feels when you find out that you're failing on a level you didn't even know that makes it okay to ostracize you in public. It's not like any one person said, oh, leave her alone. No. Person after, it was like that show where they throw rocks at you to make the crops come in. And it was really challenging. Well, now I encourage it. Now I love it when someone says that because I learned to understand what that means. But it puts you in a place where you have to understand people around you. People are basically good. So if someone's treating you really badly, there's a coding problem in their culture or in their internal response. And as hard as it was, I had to seek to understand that. I did not want to seek to understand that. But taking the time to do that is what has made me so effective now. Because now when someone says, you never voted, shame on you. I said, no. There's no shame involved at all. But if there were, it might be somebody who's wagging a finger because that does not help anybody. So let me show you how. And then I turn those same people into welcome party ambassadors because the truth is those people think they're helping. They think they're being American. They are not aware that you're not being, for whatever reason, you and I may not have gotten to the same place as this governmentally savvy, politically involved person. And they don't know why you didn't get there. They just, it's not, it'd be the same as not crossing the street and looking both ways. If I saw a grown adult not look both ways, boy, would I yell at them. What's wrong with you? Didn't your mother? Well, maybe your mother didn't teach you. I don't know. But it's that ingrained in our culture that if we understand something, we assume everybody gets it. And so I really took that to heart. It's difficult not to be judgy. But taking that other road has really let me break through. And I brought on so many politicians, just getting them to start changing their thinking, especially communities, large politicians in the federal government, much tougher sell. But in your community, all you want is to reach your community as a politician and teaching people how to do proper outreach so that none of us feel the lean back prophecy. That's what that helped me to do.
Yeah. Well, because you were able to understand the amount of shame that people feel when they confess or admit, oh no, I didn't vote. I didn't. But the reality is I didn't know how to vote or it wasn't part of what I was taught. So I don't know why you're shaming me if I just didn't know better. And I guess they assume that, like you're saying, you assume that they did know better. And so shame on you. Tis tisk. So, okay. So that leads into the question that I like to ask, and maybe that was part of the answer. What is the dysfunctional belief or behavior in our dominant culture that is keeping people from knowing that they have this responsibility or keeping the shame level where it is?
Well, hold on. Make sure I'm on. Good. Sometimes my mute goes off. For me, what I've noticed there is that our education system doesn't train citizens in civics, community, citizenship, or civility. But simultaneously, our culture is geared to shame people for what they don't know and to call them apathetic or bad American. So that is really a wrong way of thinking, but also it's pretty easy to fix. most people don't understand that. My fix is, I often wonder, why do I have a job? Because it seems so simple. But the truth is, culture shift. And that is what takes so much time and energy, which I'm happy to give. It's training everybody up that you need to look where the real problem is, which is government doesn't have people learning civics. There's a vested interest in giving, if I give my government 12 years of my life, I should graduate being able to do the job of the head of the Senate, being able to do the job of the head of the House. I can't have that job. You have to be 25 to go into the Senate or the House and 30 to go into the Senate. That's fine. But understanding their job, how am I to hold you accountable as a part of a democracy? And for anyone who doesn't know, a democracy is a government of, by, and for the people. So if we don't teach you how to do the job, how can you possibly hold someone to account to do the job? And that's where this huge disconnect is. It's unfortunate that the government is doing it on purpose. This is not a conspiracy theory. It's a sad reality. When schools were first created, and anyone who does homeschooling, they're usually pretty aware of Mr. Rockefeller, and I'm blanking on the other gentleman. But the goal of schools, they're run very much like prisons. You take attendance every hour. You eat the same government cheese lunch. It's very, very prison designed. Creativity and critical thought, those have been removed from school, if we've noticed. There's a real push to take all that away so that we're not able to turn out fantastic functioning Americans. We're turning out people who are the same or less than their parents. Not training you in civics is genius. It's a genius move. And at this point, I don't know that there's any one person making that happen. It's just over time, it becomes what we are. So for me, I have fun shifting it, because in order to get you all to come back, because everyone's so disenfranchised, I have to work a lot harder. So if you come to one of my, I host a welcome party every weekend. The whole function of behind the scenes of me doing outrageous, silly things. This is teaching you how to slay the supervillain. When I do them live, I hand out smiley face suckers when people answer certain questions. All of it is designed to take that mystique away, because in order for me to shift the culture, I have to do the first thing. The fear has been placed so heavily, we have to remove that. I worked really hard for a decade to remove fear from my life surrounding government. And the decision here is that if I wanted to remove it for other people, I was going to have to do a really, really good job. And so that's the way I enter that, is to try and, that's the problem. But the fix is really just, it's like Monsters, Inc., you know, adding the ability of laughter is 10,000 times stronger than the ability to scream. So we get everybody in, and we find, we go over fear at the beginning right away. I give my speech on judgment, but I ask everybody, let's throw out some fear. You can write a note as you walk in of things that you're fearful of or upset by, and we talk about them. We don't have to have conversation, but I address them. Once you name a fear, it kind of goes away. So you look for a culture shift. The first thing to do is say, what's not working? Oh, okay. Well, if that's gone now what can work? What do I need to feel good? What do I need to feel confident in what I'm doing? And that's what we do. We're sort of fear removers, and then we kind of build confidence in, because I don't like bullies, and I don't think that lack of education or information, that should never be a reason to keep us, not just from voting, but how you enter. I always say that people have inside of them, it's my made up word, it's called dynamicism. Everyone is dynamic, but it's locked inside. Mm-hmm. Your country needs and deserves the talents you have. I want you harvesting them, thinking about it. What can you do? I had a dog I did hospice work with. I didn't do the work. I was the other end of the leash. But because I was willing, I had this wonderfully talented dog who brought joy to hundreds and hundreds of people dying, and then also children learning to read in the Pet Project program. It's quirky, right? What quirk do you have that somebody dearly, dearly needs? You're never going to share that gift with your community, with your state, or with your government, if I don't give you a reason to feel comfy in your country. So if I can do that, we're going to crack that open. And then all this wonderfulness of every single person gets to spill out. And that's the part, that's the sort of like my cookies that I give to you. But what I get is hearing all the things people would do if only they felt like they belonged in their country. And you do. See, yeah. That's the only point of view.
This you do. That's the one time. That's so fascinating. I love that so much. Everything you said, because you're spot on. Like this whole, it's so much fear around politics, around government. And it's fascinating that you bring up that's it's an intentional part of our education. What makes you think that? Like, why is it intended in our education?
Well, the easy part is I don't think there are stupid people in Congress. I think there are decisive people. I'm sure sometimes stupid people get through, but mostly there are people who are aware. It would be impossible to be at the head of the Department of Education and not know that children don't know what's going on in their country. In 2016, we had 89 million people who were non-voters. Now we're 4 years in, we have 92 million people who are non-voters. They're not all too busy eating ice cream. And what I spend the most time with, especially with students, I have this way of trolling people. I don't have it in front of me, but it's a cute little tent card. I set it up. I sit outside of a Starbucks or a local coffee shop, and it just says, new to politics, new to voting and government, have questions, ask. And I just sit it down, and I sit, and I read a book till people come by. And without fail, students, new 17, 18, 19, they will come and sit down, and all they do is they download onto me fear. They don't think that the people ahead of them did a good job. So if they knew what they were doing and screwed this up, I'd better not, because I know nothing. That is just a heartbreaking to have. You're 18. I remember being 18. I know what I couldn't wait to bring forward in me. And you don't feel like you fit in. You don't feel like you belong. You know your government doesn't want you. If anyone in the Department of Education spent 10 minutes with a graduating senior, they would hear exactly what I hear day in, day out. So either you're hearing it and you're not making those changes, or you're not hearing it and you need to make those changes. But either way, little Lisa Ann from the heartland can't be the only girl out there who figured out the problem. If you let the government address these issues, someone told me once that when we were looking for a polio vaccine, if the government was in charge of that, we'd have the best iron lung money could buy, but no cure for polio. I don't think you'd ever see the government show up with, even my book is designed, the smiley face is specific. I want you to think about your country and want to grab it, like your favorite sweatshirt, or, you know, on a cold night, you grab that blanket and pull it in. I want your country hugging you, and I want you to feel like it's there for you to do that. You're not going to, the government's not in a position to teach you that, in my opinion. If I can give you that, then you guys can get out the door and do whatever all you want in your life. But we start here by making sure you feel comfy in your country, confident in your vote, and then you can move forward in your own way, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, ideally, it's in the government's interest to educate its citizens and help them to be part of this democracy. But at the same time, it's almost like the way that they've built up government and politics, it's almost like it's not in their best interest because of power, do you think, or because of, you know, why is it? Why do you think that they are keeping that information from being distributed widely?
Well, the simple answer is that every Saturday growing up, I don't know if they have it on now, but every Saturday at home, there would always be a Saturday morning PSA commercials all during Saturday morning cartoons. And they were called The More You Know. Mm-hmm. And at the end of every little, they'd give us a little piece of history, a little of important education, something about being a great person. It was always some piece of advice. But at the end, it would say, because the more you know, the further you'll go. And there'd be the little star. The more you know, the further you'll go. What happens if we take that knowledge away from you? Then you don't go very far.
Yeah.
And if you take a look now, it's demonstrably true that Wall Street's doing incredibly well, while the actual economy not doing that well. 98% of the country struggling to pay their bills, all the essential workers making no money. But at the top of the chain, I'm blanking on the percentage, but for over the last 40 years, the increase to a CEO's fee, their actual costs where they get paid every year, is 942% increase in their salaries. The increase for people is something like 8% during that same amount of time. the more we all know, the less we have to take of bad policies, bad behavior. If someone wants to talk to you about clean water and someone else wants to talk to you about getting you to learn fracking, if I make sure you don't understand your government and I make you a bit afraid of it, it's a lot easier to come in and say, no, clean water, not so important. Fracking, very, very important. That's where it all starts to come in. What I love about what I teach people, it's not being taught anymore. And it is critical thinking and trusting yourself. I think that's so overlooked. You are smart. You can trust yourself. It doesn't mean you always make the right decision, but if I show you how to look at something, I use this example at our parties where we talk about the difference between political parties versus policy and government. If a building's on fire, nobody's in the building, it's a vacant building, but it sits on two counties. And so from one county comes one fire chief and from the other county comes another. They might have different ideas and argue about how they're going to put out the fire, but at no time do they pretend that there is or isn't a fire burning. And that's the difference. When we teach critical thinking, then we don't have to have, when politicians want, it's like anything. If I'm the kid that wants the candy, I remember fighting with my parents all the time. I was a terrific politician. I had two sisters and I fought for every cookie I got. But you would come up with these fantastical lies. But of course, you can't fool a parent. Critical thinking is pretty easy to a four-year-old. And so that's what happens, that when you make sure people don't have that knowledge, then it's really easy to keep them out of the decision-making. Me, I take that opportunity to just give it back to you. It's so much easier. TV likes to complicate it and everyone wants to upset you with all this stuff they throw at you. The first thing we do for our parties every Saturday night, I tell everyone, get your snacks, make sure you got your pizza, sit down, nestle in. And then we literally take a deep breath in and take a deep breath out because we don't do it enough. I want you to let go of everything else around you and let's just focus on ourselves and what we want. What do you want to learn? What do you want to see? What do you want to be? And we make it what it's supposed to be. If you're lucky enough to be born in this country, you hit the geographic lottery. Let's do something with what we've got and not spend our time being so afraid of it or being so downtrodden that we're not able to progress. So that's the unfortunate behind government. But again, at this point, it's just a machine. I don't think there's any one person who's getting to pull all the fun. I think it's just like you were saying before, when you create a culture, it's almost just like building a machine. Once it starts going, it's just a process. I don't question when I make bread on the weekends. I just do it. If I had to stop and go, oh, why do I use that pan? Or why do I set? I don't know. It became a process. And so we're disrupting the process. I'm a very proud disruptor, especially if I can affect your whole family and your community. I used to do block parties before COVID-19. And that, to me, there is nothing more fun than letting a whole community get on the same page. You don't learn the same thing and have to believe the same thing, but you get the same information. So now you get to do with that information what you will.
Yeah. So it's nonpartisan, right? Like there's no...
Here.
No.
Except to tell you what parties are, why they exist, I define them. But then after that, no, they are not necessary. And for anyone wondering, the framers of our Constitution, they didn't want them because if you want to step away from being underneath a king or a monarchy, you have to have freedom. And if you're going to be a democracy, which is of, by, and for each other, then what you see now with parties is that the two-party system is that depending on whether or not it's to their interest, a D or an R, a Democrat or Republican, if you don't know, they're going to look at that building and say that building is or isn't on fire. Because if I were to help put out that fire, you might take credit. And I want you to have credit. So I'm not going to put out that fire. You know what the fire is? I don't even see a fire. Or maybe there's no building on fire, but I'm going to pretend the building's on fire because it's better for me politically. That's not your job. That's not why you're brought to Congress. And so stripping that away, when people realize they don't have to engage into parties, it's so exciting to watch them go, oh, well, this is a lot easier if I don't have to do that. It is.
That's empowering. That's awesome. As you know, so I love listening to this because my husband is he loves government. He loves policy and he holds the same opinions like what you're just saying. And he's starting a platform called The Independent Brief, because he just wants to be able to start a conversation about policy and about government that's nonpartisan And so that people can wake up to this, what you're saying, it's so powerful to be able to have that freedom. And it is, it's freeing. And that's how it should be. Our democracy should be about our freedom and about being informed and about taking the power into our hands to impact change and growth in our society, in our government. So I love everything you're saying. It's awesome. And I really love this idea. Like the first step that you say is present your fears and then make it fun. So that to me, when I hear that about family culture, is like, okay, that's something I can do. That's what I can do as a parent. I can, you know, make this something that's a fun discussion, not a doom and gloom type of conversation that stresses us all out. So what else can we do as parents to implement and teach our kids about their civic responsibilities and civility and all these things that you're talking about that are so important to establishing that freedom for them and establishing that empowerment that they are part of this and that they can be comfy in their country?
I'm so glad you asked, because this is sort of my favorite part. I call myself the jumping off point. So it's the beginning. I say that if you could imagine if all of Disney World ran off of a single plug. We all know how great Disney World can be, but if it runs off a single plug and it's unplugged, you've got nothing. All I am is the person that picks up the outlet and plugs it back in and I walk away. That's literally all I do. I just introduce you to this wonderful land. I flip the light switch, everything starts working. And now you get to decide, do you love the teacups? Do you love the Matterhorn? What's your interest? Where do you want to go? So once I give you this beginning, you're going to find out, oh, you know what? I'm actually someone who believes in advocacy. I'm interested in good government, or I'm someone, you know, the water and air and clean soil, that really speaks to me. You're going to start to feel your way through. So for me, my big goal in what I do, I don't get the chance to get too much into government. So I do what I do, which is the welcome portion. My husband was poisoned by a drug company. I hear people talk about our institutions just now being broken in the last 3 years, and I know better. I know that the Food and Drug Administration is absolutely broken. It doesn't have anything to do with people. I understand that the adverse event warning system is a lie. It's just there to look nice. It has no actual value to my fellow human beings. So as I move forward and I meet newer, more and more people, that's something I have continued to bring forward because my personal experience is deep and my desire to keep that from ever happening to another family is incredibly strong. So that's my thing. I do welcome parties and I focus on, when I can, getting into fixing how we allow drugs to be made, manufactured, and distributed in our country. When you get into this, especially, I love it if you're a family and you're open. It's my most fun is current and new and non-voters, because you don't have the jaded party problem. You know, for me, I actually had to pull away from a family that was very specifically one party. That can be painful when you move into being just, I don't say I'm an independent, I say I'm an A. I'm an American. That's all I am. But when I sit with families, the first thing that you can do, I love my website because I worked really hard to make it accessible. Whatever your age, I want you to feel really, really welcome and that everything is at your fingertips. So the first thing you can do is you go to MeThePeopleVote.com and there's a welcome video. I'll say, hey, hi, it's Citizen Cupcakes sitting out there chatting, welcoming. The welcome parties I throw every Saturday night because it's been a really hard year for everybody. And it makes me cry, but someone told me they felt alone, that they watched the party and they just felt alone. And it made me so sad to think, this is supposed to be so fun and so great. We're done. No one's going to be alone anymore. And so that was the end of that. Every Saturday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, we man the party. So I tell everybody, get your stuff, order. You can order. We've got I talk about, we do the boas and we do the difference between Democrats and Republicans, elephants and donkeys. I say, order whatever you want that makes you feel happy, just happy. And then we run the party. So in between, I take questions, people on Facebook Live, we keep it as lively as we can so that you are not in charge of watching those videos. But if you're a family and you're together right now, the whole party is there for you. There's a downloadable itinerary. There's the videos. I walk you through absolutely everything. So you could throw your own party. And in between, what I have found to be so much fun and very insightful for parents, ask the kids what they think. and just try and be quiet. Don't say anything. Even no matter what they tell you, just try and be quiet. And as you, the more videos they watch, you will be astounded. I have just been floored by what kids are really thinking and what they have to bring. Once you kind of get past that first step, then the very next thing is to start just asking, hey, this is your country. How do you want to enter it? There's a group called AmeriCorps. It's the largest volunteer organization, huge, lots of places to go, but also great suggestions. You can go to AmeriCorps and take a look and see, what do I want to do in my town? Well, I have a nephew who's very active. So he wanted to go work for the 4-H. He's 9 years old. He went to work for 4-H. Whatever your interest is, you kind of start to feel your way. My niece wanted to begin with Toastmasters because she felt that being able to convey how she felt was important. I said, okay, well, there's a place for you. It's called Toastmasters. She'd never heard of it, but I didn't know she had an interest. So if you just use it as your jumping off point, particularly when you don't have to add parties to it, it'll start to branch out and you can create your own family culture of just see something, say something. And then we have the whole section on how to have a political conversation or stop one without bloodshed that teaches you active listening and how to not react even when you really want to.
Yeah. Well, I like that you talk about these welcome parties are and come from a place of non-judgment. Like 100%, that is absolutely the best way to come from that. You don't want to manipulate your kids' judgments around different policies and things like that. You don't want to make them feel insecure or instill any kind of that fear. I mean, where does the fear come from except that when they tried to have a conversation, somebody made them feel bad or shamed them and they thought, oh, well, I must be stupid. And again, they get into that fixed mindset, oh, I don't want to look stupid, so therefore, I'm not going to ask any more questions. So what is some advice that you have for parents to be non-judgmental?
I do think it's a skill. So the first thing I would say is go ahead and understand that you're going to fail your way to success. That's just, let that be a reality. My parents struggled a long time with me, just in general. If you're going to have a kid, I was a heavily bullied child. It was really tough to have me around. It's hard to believe now, but I was sensitive. I was quiet. I was really timid. And I was just the perfect thing. And so bringing me out of my shell, getting me somewhere, at 14, I went to space camp. That was enormous for me to do that. But I was so interested. But my mother, every step of the way, my dad would let me do something or take a class or sit, but they spent a lot of time trying to ask. And in so trying to fix it, many times they just assumed what I needed. And as a kid, that's frustrating. But looking back as an adult, you say, oh, yeah, because no one's perfect. They can't climb around in your head. Judgment's what you interpret it to be. So you might just be asking a question and I decide I'm getting judged. So all you have to do is stop. This is something that I have learned over time. Jack Canfield, he's a thought guru and the creator of the Chicken Soup for the Soul. I met him once. He's just a wonderful, delightful human being. And one of the things he trained us on is if you want to have difficult conversations and be as open and judgment-free as you can be, you start by saying, when you say whatever it is, I imagine dot, 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 and it makes me feel or makes me want to. So if you are trying to be judgment-free and you can tell, we know our kids, you can tell you've not been, you can stop and say, I don't know if I've made a mistake here, but when you said dot, 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 I imagined you meant, and it made me think I should. Is that what you wanted? And then just try and be quiet. It's so hard, but especially I'm Italian, so it's really hard. I have to sit on my hands and close my mouth and really, really try. But I have noticed that that's been very healing because children, more than ever, I mean, I thought I wasn't listened to as a kid because teachers just, they never thought you were really being bullied. They never really, you're just being passed along. But now, this world of everyone being on their phone, I feel that children really are not being actively listened to. We're all busy. We're all tired. You just don't have time to be totally present. And that's one way to just every now and then just say, you know what? I don't know if I screwed up today or not. Let me just ask. What do you think? How'd I do? I've done that a couple times as an aunt to just say on a scale of 1 to 10, being polite, I can take the truth. Did I how did I do today? And it opens up the chance for them to say, well, you know, we're at the museum. Okay. It's hard. I'm not saying it feels good. Make sure you have ice cream or your favorite drink of choice waiting for you. But it's a great way to fail your way there. And we also do family meetings. I implemented them where you let other people say what they're thinking about you. Like, where do you want to go when you graduate? Or do you want to go to college? Or would you take a year off? They say, but I'm not going to ask you. I'm going to ask your brother or your sister. What do you think Susan should do? If you, what you know about Susan, what do you think? If you were to see her 10 years down the road, where would you see her? And it's very, the conversation really opens. It often it's, especially the younger the kids are, they'll be fantastical, but they do open conversation. And it's kind of nice to have that little family bubble of no one else is doing this. It's just for you. And it's cool.
That is cool. Well, and just from what you were talking and being able to ask those questions and also present those questions to your children, this is what I interpreted, you know, I mean, I've had this conversation lately with so many parents thinking now about homeschooling and just parenting in general, I think that, well, parents, sometimes it's hard to be in that place where you are the one that's vulnerable. Right? You're the one that's having to open up and be vulnerable. And it takes a lot of parenting ourselves. And it takes a lot of maturity and emotional availability. Because, you know, if you're not ready for that, you can either shut down or you retaliate, or, you know, and then that creates judgment, that creates fear, that creates all these different things. And so I can see this as a parent. When you want to create space for no judgment zone, you as a parent need to be willing to accept that you're going to need to be vulnerable, and that you're going to be triggered, and that you're going to need to stop when you're triggered to go, okay, I'm being triggered. And I don't want to spew that all over my children. And then they interpret and become afraid and shame and all that stuff begins to spiral and recycle into your family. And so it's like, it takes this certain level of like emotional availability as a parent to just shut your mouth or just kind of go, okay, that makes me kind of upset, but let me listen a little bit longer or something like that. You know, I think that as a parent, to be able to do that, knowing that we have just as much to learn from our kids as they have to learn from us, and that that's a good thing.
I think that it's really challenging because kids can be brutal. They also don't know how to communicate as well. They're learning. And so when you simply ask a question, when they're really mad, they say, I hate you. That's not really how they feel, but that is what they're going to say to you. And it's difficult to open yourself up to being vulnerable. And from a person who studied this for a decade, I put myself in the lion's den over and over and over. I went to an important meeting in Iowa. It was a Hall of Fame dinner and lots of important people were there. Hillary Rodham Clinton was there. It was a whole gigantic thing. And I went because I was me and I was there to represent what I do. And I walked into a room of high powered political figures, everyone in a black suit. And then there's me. I'm wearing this drippy, beautiful blue. It looked like raindrops and my hair. And then I was there for a party. And I didn't just stick out like a sore thumb. I stuck out like the idiot who didn't belong because I was there spouting education and inclusion. I didn't want to call people apathetic or stupid. I wanted to hug them and bring them in. And it was a radically new idea. And though I had had a nice conversation with Hillary Clinton, her people were not that interested. And I was so glad to go home that night. The only person who truly treated me really, really well was Bernie Sanders. I feel like Bernie Sanders, if you don't know him, he's like the guy from Back to the Future, Doc. Very wild and fantastical, but truly just a person. Wherever he goes, he's not a Democrat, Republican. He's just a guy who wants to see a better country. He made me feel okay. But after that, I just left thinking, every time I talked, the judgment was so... They could have been holding up signs that says, we judge you harshly over and over and over again. So I understand it. It's a learning process. It's taken me years to get to this point. The difference in families is the more you start to let your kids be heard judgment-free in what they think, you're going to accelerate that time period because they're going to meet you halfway and then they're going to know you better. And I think that to me is the real key in my own family to just implement these meetings. Everybody hates you. But the more time it goes by with the, when you, I imagine it makes me feel judgment-free. What about your future? Here's the seven facets of life. I'd love to hear your thoughts. The more you talk about it, you see people, they come alive because we're all just living. We're just living. We're getting by. I don't want that for us. I want a country that is very, very dynamic.
Do you learn about those? Can we learn about your seven facets of life on your website? Is that available?
No, they're not on there. They're not mine. They're Jack Canfield's.
Oh, okay.
I'll list them to you. I always have them everywhere I go. So facet number one is financial. What is your annual income, monthly cash flow? How much do you have in savings? Roof over your head. What's your ideal job or career? Where are you working? What are you doing with and with whom are you working? What kind of clients and customers do you have? What is your compensation? Is it your own business? These are thoughts, not of where you are now, of where you want to be. What's your ideal? Free time. What are you doing with your family and friends in the free time you've created for yourself? What hobbies are you pursuing? What kinds of vacations will you take? What do you do for fun? What is your ideal vision of your body and physical health? Are you free of disease, pain-free? How long do you live? Are you open to relax in an ecstatic state of bliss all day long? And then what is your ideal vision of your relationships with family and friends? What's your relationship with your spouse and your family like? Who are your friends? What do those friendships feel like? What about your personal area of your life? Do you see yourself going back to school, getting training, attending personal growth workshops, seeking therapy for a past hurt, or perhaps growing spiritually? Community. What does your community look like when it's operating perfectly? What kinds of community activities take place there with charitable, philanthropic, or volunteer work? What do you do to help others and to make a difference? And how often do you participate in those activities? And who are you helping?
Wow.
It's just a nice way to, when kids turn 12 and 15 and then 17, I give that to them as a gift. I give them a Starbucks card with enough money for a coffee or tea for every single facet. And I ask them to just go once a week, give themselves some me time. And for 1 hour, just think about one of those facets and start journaling, because we aren't asking that of ourselves. And by the time you do, you suddenly look around and go, wow, this is not the life I wanted, but boy, it is the one I created it, but I didn't know. I wish I had those seven facets growing up. No one's trying to keep you from an explosive life. They don't know that lives must be designed to be successful, much like a country has to be designed with citizens who are on, we can't control it if we don't understand it. That's our job. And so I use those to live by, because whenever life is, during COVID especially, to just stop and say, hold on, let me resurface. It's very calming for anyone out there who's just feeling exhausted, upset, concerned, fearful. It's very calming. It's like chamomile tea without having to actually turn on the teapot.
Well, I love that it's taking Not so much accountability, or it's more just taking responsibility, not for your own life. Like, despite the circumstances, but despite what's going on, like, what am I going to do with the resources available to me to create something? So yeah. And 100%, I love what you just said. Like, that's like, that would summarize why I even started this podcast. Like, my husband and I went through so many years of going, how did we get on this path? What is happening? This isn't the life we wanted to create, but how did we even get here in the first place? Because it wasn't, and not necessarily that our eyes were closed, but they were just kind of like a little crack. Like, I think I know where I'm going. I'm trying. I'm at least, you know, checking off the right boxes that they quote unquote told us should be checked off. You know, we got the education and the blah, 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 blah. And then we're miserable. Like, wait, well, how did this happen? And it's because you got to stop listening to the voices that are trying to keep you in the status quo, or at least take it with a grain of salt and go, is this right? And is this what I really want? And how do I create what I really want? And so that's powerful. What you just said is like 100%. That's why I do this. So
thank you. really well done. I wish that we could have someone, for example, I would send you to schools, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, to tell that story now, because children don't know they're even in a status quo. I didn't. It would be so delightful to have anyone say, let me share with you what happened to us. And then just ask. Most people don't know what they want. They have dreams, but those dreams are just things floating through. When you really, maybe you want to be a doctor. Well, then why aren't we making sure that you're leaving school twice a week to go intern at a doctor's office? Because maybe you don't want to be a doctor. Maybe you want to be a patient advocate, or maybe it's a surgeon, or maybe it's a doctor, but you want to be a vet. You have to take it from a thought of a spark, and then see it through till it comes forward into something, which is what I do with my work. I don't want anyone to feel like, go vote. I tell everyone, vote or no vote. That is up to you. I am not here to tell you to cast a vote. If you want to be part of voting, I want you to have it. So I teach you how to do it. Mail in, the whole, everything. We want you to know that. But after that, that's your decision, because I don't think voting is a measure of the experience. We should do it. It's a piece of democracy. But how you enter your community, I did weird things. You know, I did summer arts marathon programs when I was 16 because my mom was an artist. So I understood art. I took my dog and we went and visited a hospice people, and then randomly tumble into a reading program. How bizarre that a dog can increase a child's reading ability 72%. These are not normal things, but if you are aware that you're allowed to be weird, you can go out there and make a difference. Helping a child. I loved watching kids. And I did a few literacy programs for adults as well. Because they were fearful. And my dog was beautiful. She was very, very pretty, very, very well-trained. She knew all kinds of tricks. And she just had a way with people that made them feel better. Okay, well, that's my thing. What great things are out there that none of us have the chance to bring forward because we're so busy not knowing what our divine reason for being is, because we never actually stopped other than a dream. You know, I wanted to be an actor. I didn't actually want to be famous. I wasn't interested in becoming... Everyone wants to be an actor, but they really want to be famous. I love the work. I love being an actor. I got to go on a stage. Oh my gosh, fell in love. I love to be backstage. I love to be front stage. I loved every single piece about it. But what if I had gone like Space Camp, time of my life, but I recognized that it wasn't going to be enough for me. How nice at 14 to learn that instead of going through school and taking that opportunity with those facets. To me, makes it easier. And I feel like when you have a relationship with your government, like your country, your understanding of your country, when I have a relationship, my relationship is with James Madison. It's with George Washington. It's with, you know, Thomas Jefferson. I have a relationship in my head with my forefathers and the country itself. That's what the Constitution is supposed to do, is bind you to the country. It's a sheet of paper to this land. And then you're in the middle holding both of them. If you have that, it's so much more freeing to open your eyes wide. And I'm impressed that you did that, because I didn't do that for it was way long time before I went, oh, hang on, this isn't going so well.
And it's unfortunate that we have to go through that experience. But at the same time, our work is to help people, hopefully earlier and earlier, younger and younger, start to open their eyes. And you're right, because we need to say, oh, that's what you want to be? Well, like, I wish I had somebody when I was in high school sit me down and be like, what do you want to do? Oh, well, you know what? This college program is that. What are you going to do leading up through your high school career to prepare for that? Oh my gosh, like, I would have done everything in my power to do that, to like get into that program. And so it's like, we need to provide the mentor for our kids. And it's fascinating to me that a discussion about government and about loving our country is turning into this concept of just of living your best life. That's so fascinating to me, because it's like, it's almost like when you understand that we live in this free country, that we have our democracy, it brings back this power of the American dream, like the real American dream, right? The real one, not the climb the ladder and eventually retire someday. Because let's be honest, and I've had an episode about this as well, that those jobs, like it was like 80% of the jobs today will not exist when our kids graduate high school. Like, they're just not going to be there. We have to infuse into our lives our creative capacity and our capacity to innovate and our capacity to be individuals, or else we're going to flounder. We are going to hit that wall going, how did I get here? What is happening? Because I just held the hand of the system the whole way and just finally said, okay, this is the right way. I'll just keep going. And it's just, okay, that train for me broke down a long time ago. And we're just like, and let me tell you, the transition to get on another train is a lot of work. It's hard work. And you want to get on, off that train as early as possible and find the one that fits you sooner.
Well, and the idea of the system is that the system is designed to drop you after college. So at the moment you graduate, the system goes, oh, haha, thank you, we're done. By the way, you owe $200,000 in loans. The jobs you thought were available are not available. And we'd like you to start paying that back. But also you need to buy a house. Do go do that, because that's what people do. So go into more debt. It leaves you suddenly alone. And there is nothing after that. There's no mechanism to get out of it or to change. No, that requires you to go back to the beginning all alone. Mm-hmm. And thankfully you and your husband are on the same page, and you actually, that's quite a dig to do together, to go on a journey of how do we get here? How do we get out? What do we do next? That's not just hard work. That's a lot of fearlessness to you get off the train and get on the other one. Everything in between there is very, very dangerous.
It's scary. cover it or what sugarcoat it. That's what I would say. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's scary, but it's something that I just think when we were like, this is a dead end, we could see the dead end. And it was like, okay, well, we either keep going and hit that dead end and maybe see what happens there, or we just quit right now. Just stop, full stop, do something else. And it is hard, but 100%, that's why I'm doing this. I want to support you. Everybody listening, we are here to support you, Lisa and as well. And so, okay, so I'm excited to, one more thing, let's say you're promoting your welcome parties.
Yes.
And so people can go to your Facebook page at Citizen Cupcakes.
Yes. Correct? It's the easiest way for everyone, just especially if you're listening, you don't have time to write things down and how busy it is. If you go to MeThePeopleVote.com, and it's M as in mother. So it's, if it's about me, it's about you. If it's about you, it's about MeThePeopleVote.com. That very first page has all the links. The link to YouTube is there. The link to Facebook is there, so that you're able to one-stop shop, not have to do it all. It will take you to Facebook, and then you can see, we pin it every week to the top. You can join us. You can sign up to join. We prefer it if you sign up so I know how many people are coming. But if you've gotten busy, please don't let that keep you. It goes through Zoom and onto Facebook Live. And all we want is for you to gather up your kids and your family and your friends and just have a sit down, eat some junk food. In my case, I always have fruit because I'm just one of those people. So I won't force you. I do keep suckers around, you know. Anyway, it's free for you. I get my money in paid speeches. I sell books. I get YouTube ads. That is where I choose to get my money. I don't need to make money off of something that I find to be vital, as this is my gift of love to my fellow American citizens. Also, once you do it with us, then you can do it on your own. You can share it with your friends. Everything is there on the welcome party page for you to see. And it walks you through it. We've got the videos that walk you through it. We've got the invitation video to share. You're pretty much given everything you need. Plus the contact page, you could always reach out and tell us if you're struggling with something or you have a thought, an idea, a question. That's what I'm here for.
Very cool.
I want you to know that you're not alone. I was very much alone on this journey. And now that I've gotten here, I'm leaving a trail behind me. You are so, so not alone. I'm here. If I can help, I want to help. And everything I do, when you see it, you think, wow, she's really goofy and silly. That's right. I did that just for you.
I see the strategy behind it now. There's a purpose. There's a purpose. I like it. Very cool. Thank you so much, Lisa Ann. I really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you for being on my show. I really appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
Glad you were able to tune in for this episode of the Family Culture Movement. Don't miss the next episode with guest Calvin Wijaya, where we talked about what it means to be a third culture kid and how we can adapt to being more inclusive in our culture. Again, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Family Culture Movement. Help more people find the show. Download this episode, subscribe to the show, rate it, and leave a review. For more tools for shaping your intentional family culture, be sure to sign up for your free membership of the Family Success Toolbox at homeandfamilyculture.com. Until next time, remember to set your intentions for your family culture and lead your family toward your vision of success.